Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WJLA 7 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
I have some astonishing figures for you. 48 million people in the United States have some degree of hearing loss, and 1 in 10 of us needs help. But yet, fewer than 20% of the people who need help report using hearing aids. We're going to talk with someone today about the whole issue of hearing aids, how they help you, how they even keep you active socially, prevent some physical illnesses. It's amazing what they can do. Barbara Kelly is the executive director of the Hearing Loss Association of America. Barbara, I'm so delighted to have you on this program. Back in the winter, I had the most scary experience. I woke up one morning, and in my right ear, I could hardly hear. Now, I'd never had a hearing problem before. And by the next day, and I thought, oh my goodness, I got to go to the doctor. I must have wax in my ear or something. The next day, I could not hear at all. So I immediately called my doctor. They took me right away, and they diagnosed me as having, well, they couldn't find anything else wrong. So they figured that I had an infection in the inner ear, and they put me on prednisone. And it worked. My hearing was restored, and I have good hearing. But that was the most scary thing. And I can just imagine some people cope with this all the time. There is no cure.
That's right.
But there's help.
That's right. There is help, Shirley. And you did the right thing because you woke up and something was going wrong in your body, and you went and got it checked out. And for some people, sudden hearing loss is permanent. So you are very lucky because as we age, it sometimes is an inevitable part of aging. Among people 70 and older, two-thirds have a hearing loss.
But now, isn't that something that typically comes on a little more gradually than what my virtually overnight loss of hearing in one ear? And it was strange because the other ear was operating fine, but you know, I was only hearing sound coming from one side.
It sure does. For most people, it does come on gradually, where you might have a mild loss where it's really not presenting any problem. But then you move into a more moderate hearing loss and you notice in the workplace that all of a sudden you're not able to hear in the conference room, or you're having misunderstandings, or you're having problems on the telephone, or you have to turn the television up louder and it's becoming disruptive in your relationship. And so it's insidious. It comes on gradually.
Well, now, but there are some things that can come about from hearing loss that are related to, such as even dementia, lack of social interaction. All of these kinds of things can occur because an individual, it gets to be a struggle.
You're right. We know that it takes anywhere from 5 to 7 years by the time somebody realizes they have a hearing loss to when they get help.
Why so long?
Well, there are a number of reasons. One reason is stigma. Some people see it as a sign of getting older. And in fact, a lot of people go to their general practitioners. And if you're 50 or older and you say, gee, I'm having trouble hearing, very often the physician will say, oh, it's just part of aging. Go home and turn the TV up. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do. And this is the absolute worst advice that you can give to someone, because there are things you can do. So people associate it with aging. They don't want to look less capable. They don't want to look old. Another barrier is cost of hearing aids. When it can cost up to $4,000 a piece for a hearing aid, and people often need two, that's a barrier.
$4,000 each?
Yes, yes. And then another barrier can just be access to the whole hearing healthcare system. It's very complicated. You have to see a hearing healthcare professional, an audiologist, or a dispenser, a hearing aid specialist, who are really the gatekeepers to hearing health care. So it's not as easy, and cost and stigma.
Cost and, yes. Well, you know, now the hearing aids, some of them are so tiny that you can't even hardly see them.
Well, that's true. And, you know, if there are other really cool things on the market, and I'd like to give this example of someone I know who is well over 50, late 50s, and he really won't admit that he has a hearing loss, but there is something on the market where he has an app on his phone and he has really cool looking earbuds in his ears, and he can raise the volume of the sound and he can lower the background noise. And when you ask him, do you have a hearing loss? He'll say, oh no, I just need a little hearing enhancement from time to time. So, you know, if that's what it takes for somebody to get some help, I think it's great. And that helps younger people get into the market as well.
But that wouldn't help. Would that help in conversations?
Well, it would help in conversations, but there's because this particular app with the earbuds reduce background noise.
Like, okay, because that's one of the culprits in anyone's hearing, as a matter
sure
of fact.
It sure is. But those devices are not available to people. They cannot be marketed to people with hearing loss right now.
Why?
Because there are restrictions with the FDA and their regulations. So there is something on the market now called PSAPs, and these are personal sound amplification devices, and or sound amplifiers, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That you often see them advertised in the back of parade magazines, but if you notice, they're never marketed for people who have hearing loss. They're marketed for hunters who want to hear a deer in the woods, or for somebody who wants to overhear a conversation. However,
and there's restrictions. So there are restrictions. Now, there is something going on in Congress, isn't there, that might put open up the field?
There sure is. And the problem with the PSAPs are that they are unregulated, and there is some items there that are just not effective. There is a bill in Congress, and it's very exciting because it's bipartisan. And in this day and age when not too many things are bipartisan, it's the over-the-counter hearing aid bill of 2017. The co-sponsors in the Senate are Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Grassley, and the co-sponsors in the House are Marsha Blackburn and Joe Kennedy III. So it's moving along quite nicely. And the reason this came about is because the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine issued their study last year on affordable and accessible hearing health care for adults.
Let me just stop you right there for a minute, because the time's flying by here. I need to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Barbara Kelly. She's the executive director of the Hearing Loss Association of America. Their website is hearingloss.org. I recommend it. Whether you have a hearing loss or not, you really should visit the website, because I bet you that you have a friend or relative who does have a hearing loss. So anyway, Barbara, I'm sorry to have interrupted you, but go ahead.
So there are two major national initiatives. One of them was the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine report on affordable and accessible hearing health care for adults. The other one was the PCAST report, which is the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. And especially the NAS report made recommendations for hearing health care for adults. And they came out with, I think all of us know, that hearing loss is a primary health concern. And it's a societal concern and affects people of all ages. And they came out with recommendations. One of the recommendations was for the FDA to open up a new category of over-the-counter hearing wearable devices.
So now, right now, there is no such thing really as an over-the-counter hearing aid?
No, there isn't.
We even have, though my husband got one?
Well, you had talked about he ordered one online.
He ordered something online, yes.
Right. And these, again, are unregulated devices. And very often, if your husband needed service on that hearing aid, he couldn't take it to an audiologist.
No, because he takes it back. I think he sent it back to the manufacturer when he needed something done.
Right.
They're tiny little things.
Right. And,
it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what a difference it makes.
That's wonderful. A difference it makes in your communication. And
oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, now he has no excuse when I do a honeydew. he can't say, I didn't hear you, Shirley.
That's right. That's right.
I've got him now, you know.
You have him.
But no, but it really does make a difference. And I think for him particularly, the biggest thing, as you said, one of the big things is background noise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I did find, and I think he would admit this, that one of the things that happens as you use these amplification, whatever you want to call them, hearing aids, you adjust to how they sound. And I gather, looking at your website, you really should expect a period of adjustment when you're getting anything.
You should. And there are certainly more complicated hearing loss and more severe to profound hearing loss need the attention of a good audiologist.
Well, he goes to an audiologist.
That's great.
But he didn't want to pay, because what he discovered was that you can pay thousands and thousands of dollars, and if they don't work, they're pretty much yours. It doesn't matter whether you can stand them or not.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's not like you have a test run for a car that you can take it and drive it around the block.
Well, I think most hearing healthcare providers, audiologists or hearing aid specialists, will give you a 30-day trial. But, you know, 30 days is very quick.
You don't really
quick.
Know. You're going to be in different situations.
Right.
Yeah.
But a good audiologist really does a full needs assessment and finds out, you know, what kind of listening situations do you have? Do you work in a noisy environment? Do you have to sit around a conference table? Are you retired and you do community activities? So a good audiologist will work with you, and it's not just about the hearing aid. That's just the device. But it's learning to live with it and to use some assistive listening devices.
Well, yeah, I noticed that there are classes teaching people to be, I would use the term assertive listeners almost, because you're teaching them to read lips almost in effect, using different cues and things for hearing people. I gather that you do this.
Right. A good communication strategy is like if you were talking to your husband and you kept saying the same thing over and over again and he wasn't getting it, well, maybe you would rephrase it. So things like that can really help as well.
And oftentimes I find the pitch of your voice, whether it's high or low, makes a difference too.
Right.
It's a lot of different things. But he's fortunate that he's not severely impaired, but he does have some hearing loss. And anyway, our life is much better since he's wearing these devices that he ordered, and they work just fine.
That's great. That's great news.
They do. And we have friends who've done the same thing. So, but what you're saying is that if this regulation, this law passes, that what we would find is an environment where there is more control and quality control over these devices, and that audiologists then would be able to service them. Is that part of it? I'm not. I mean, there are hearing aids available now, but I think people have bought them at Costco's.
Yes, and Costco has had great success because they buy in volume and they've been able to bring the price down, and the environment is not threatening. I mean, if you think about it, you go
So now how would these regulations change what's going on right now? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay. Right. Costco is not over the counter. They do have an audiologist or a hearing instrument specialist providing the service. How it would be different is the patient or the consumer with hearing loss would have much more choice. We know that 85% of people who could benefit from a hearing aid don't get one. And these are people who have a mild to moderate hearing loss. And they might avoid getting help because of cost, which is a big one. And they might be willing to just put their toe in the water and try something that is more affordable, it's easier to get, and get some help that might help them. So our organization...
So it should expand availability and help lower costs.
And help lower costs. And the thought is this will open up the space for technology and people who aren't traditionally in the hearing aid market, like Samsung and Apple and Bose and Doppler and people like that, will get into the market. And do You remember, Shirley, when the only people who had cell phones and computers were either wealthy people or really smart people.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody has them.
That's true.
And they're much more technological.
They're much more advanced and much less expensive.
Exactly. And so mostly every industry on the planet has
been
disrupted.
Basically, you're saying competition works.
Oh, competition works. And, you know, we're thinking that younger people who have hearing loss will be willing to try something that maybe some earbuds with an app on your phone that might be, you know, more in tune to their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was really startled when I started reading your website and learning about some of the issues and things. And there's so many ways that people can be helped. It's not just hearing aids, but which is the focus of what you're working on right now.
Right.
But beyond that is the other ways that you can have, that you can get help. Let's just take a brief pause here and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Barbara Kelly. She's the Executive Director of the Hearing Loss Association of America. Their website is hearingloss.org. That's hearingloss.org. And I do recommend it for anyone because, you know, I think we all know people who have some impact from hearing loss. And whether it's us or our friends or our family, relatives, whatever. But at any rate, Barbara, going back to some of the ways that they've been helped. Now, the cochlear implant, that's a fairly recent development. Now, I read something on your website that I want you to explain it to me. What is a hearing loop? This is somehow connecting your hearing aid to what?
Yes. Some hearing aids have something in them called a telecoil. And most consumers don't even know that they have one or don't even know to ask their audiologist to put one in. They're not very much, they don't add extra cost to the hearing aid. But when you go into, say, a theater or a place of worship or even a community room, and it has a hearing loop, you set your hearing aid to telecoil, and that person gets direct audio input of sound with all the background noise
eliminated.
And it's an old technology, but it works. And, you know, we're moving toward now.
Do you get it in theaters? And can you go to a Broadway play and have a hearing loop?
Many of them do. Many of them have live captioning. Many movie theaters have captioning with a device.
I use captioning to understand some accents and things. I mean, I just feel that captioning is fantastic.
Sure. And that's the idea of these technologies is that they often spill over to help other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, like back mm-hmm. in the old days, curb cuts were just for people with wheelchairs, but we know that they help parents with strollers and people on bikes and people with walkers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea. And HLAA is often involved with the Consumer Technology Association on meeting with companies to help them develop products from the get-go that are communication accessible, hearing friendly, so these products don't have to be retrofit later on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was fascinated by the hearing loop. I just thought that was absolutely, and seemed to me like I do vaguely remember seeing or hearing something about mm-hmm. it, but I really didn't know what it was. So,
mm-hmm.
so when people are buying a hearing aid, they should find out if it has this technology and how do they use it.
Yes, exactly. In fact, we have a guide for people, a checklist for people to take to their audiologist when mm-hmm. buying a hearing aid.
And that's on your website.
It's on our website, and we always recommend people ask for a telecoil.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, why not?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You go to the movies and you could hear it for
that's
a change.
That's right, exactly.
Without listening to the person talking next to you. Well, do you see people... Once we have more over-the-counter availability, mm-hmm. assuming that happens, then I would suspect that many more people are going to be using hearing aids than what we're seeing right now.
Well, that is our hope, because it's going to be in the conversation, and more people are going to be willing to try things as it's readily available. Mm-hmm. And what our organization is surely concerned about is safety, labeling, clear expectations,
right,
red flag warnings. Because
so that you know what you're getting.
Exactly.
Right.
And we're the consumer organization.
I do want to, before we end the program, I do want to ask you about something that I've thought. I wonder if this is a reason for concern, where our children are going around with little ear pods in their ears and listening to music, sometimes quite loud. You can hear it when you walk close to them. Is that going to affect their hearing?
Oh, it absolutely is. Noise-induced hearing loss is completely preventable and completely irreversible. And if you come out of a concert and your ears are ringing or you have a muffled sound, you have damaged hair cells in your cochlea, and
wow,
you've lost some hearing. So after a lifetime of this, and that's why some scientists are saying that age-related hearing loss is just damage over a lifetime of sound. Mm. And if you can hear music coming out of those headphones or buds, and you're sitting
haven't
next
you ever
to
been
somebody,
on an airplane?
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. way too loud.
I know it's way too loud. It's way too loud for me.
And
I'm sitting there, you know, just a passenger listening to this person destroy their hearing.
And the good
I often feel like saying, do you know you're going to be deaf in 5 years or something?
Go ahead, Shirley, say it.
You should.
But the CDC has just come out with a national campaign on hearing protection, and it is fabulous. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. It absolutely is. Well, you know, I think awareness and the fact and if accessibility. If accessibility and, you know, the cost of things go down, you've got more competition, new technological developments, all of those are good things. While they won't restore people's hearing, they can at least help make life a little bit more exciting and interesting for them. Yeah.
Right.
Well, what do you see on the horizon? Tiny, tiny little hearing aids and all kinds of fun things?
Well, you know, Shirley, I could have never imagined when I was a kid that I could carry my phone, my television, and my computer in my hand.
That's true.
And I do with my iPhone. So I think the technology is just going to boom. But it's going to be so important for people to get help, because we know that untreated hearing loss leads to other things. Risks of falls, isolation.
You know, the falls are an interesting thing to me. I would never have thought that. The isolation, yes. Even the dementia, because you have lack of social stimulation. If
right.
you avoid crowds, you avoid your friends.
Right.
But the falls
but
is very interesting.
Also falls. Right, exactly. So, I mean, it just makes sense to me that if we treat hearing loss, we eliminate mm-hmm. all these other comorbidities mm-hmm. and people have less trips to the doctor. And, you know, cost of hearing aids is really important, because I don't know if you know, but Medicare does not cover the cost of hearing aids.
I'm aware of that. Yep.
Right. And very few insurance companies. And if they do have coverage, it's very little. If you are a vet, the Department of Veterans Affairs does take very good care of you with your hearing loss. And
because a lot of veterans have suffered hearing loss because of exposure to guns and firing and all the things that are associated with battles and war.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And even recently, with the recent conflicts, they've done better at protecting their hearing loss, or they're better at protecting their hearing. But many of the ones from Iraq and Afghanistan had bombs that suddenly go off, so they have single-sided deafness.
Barbara,
right?
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Shirley. Thank you.
It's a delight to meet you and to learn about what you're doing. The website is hearingloss.org. My guest has been Barbara Kelly. She is the Executive Director of the Hearing Loss Association of America. I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And if you want to get in touch with me, it's shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WJLA 7 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.